Great job. Great job. Great job. Great job. Thank you, Brody. Thank you. It was a great job. They already made me cry one time today in the early service. I appreciate these young people so much. And that was a powerful message, wasn't it? If we said amen and go home, don't say the amen to that. Well, we could. Probably could. This morning, if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 16, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects, the subject of revival. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to talk fast. Acts 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and their magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs," here's a great question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Last Sunday I talked to you and I said one of the famous preachers in America said that God is withdrawn from America and that he says there's no hope of real revival in America. It's too late. A lot of people would have you believe that what we need to do is, since the hour is so dark and the world is in the hour so late for our country and the world, that there can never be another revival. And what we need to do is just huddle up in little Bible study groups and wait it out till Jesus comes. Well, I don't want to believe that. I spent a big part of my life, Mark, in revivals. I was raised in a Baptist church, Joyce Houses, like you, and probably we had two every year, didn't we? Had a revival in the spring and had a guest preacher and a singer come in the fall. How many of you were raised in a church like that? Phyllis, I know you, most of us, Craig Wood, most of us like, had two revivals. As a young preacher, I preached a lot of those revivals. Usually in the summertime, I would preach anywhere from two or three to seven or eight sometimes. Help my preacher friend go to churches and preach revivals. I spent a lot of my time, maybe 200 revivals in my life I have led in revival. What is a revival? A revival is a new obedience to God. It is a new level of surrender. It is a new level of obedience to God, and where the presence of God is manifested and felt. Now, a lot of people say we can't have revival like that in our day. They don't believe that, Reason. But I'm going to tell you what I pray. I pray that God, one more time, Joe Paul, one more time, God will let me see a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival, an awakening. Now, I can make you a good case. I could say, John Motes, that many people would tell me we've had revival in this church for 3 years. And by the way, this closes 3 years for me today. 3 years. I came on the third Sunday of October, 2009. And that was 3 years ago. It'll close up 3 years. And I've seen God do some amazing things. But still have not seen, we've had great showers of blessings. And we sang that song, showers of blessings. Let the mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. I believe we can still have revival. If you study the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, Sam, it talks about those seven churches of Revelation. They were literal churches. They were really there. But the church at Philadelphia and Sardis and Smyrna and Laodicea, they were all there. But a lot of scholars believe, Dr. Roger, that those were seven eras of history just before Christ comes again. Those seven churches are from the time of the apostles right on up to the time that Jesus comes and closes the history book. Those are seven eras, seven sections of time. And a lot of scholars believe, some major, that we're living in that last day. And the last church is, who knows what it was? It was the church of Laodicea. And what kind of church was it? It was a lukewarm church. He said, I don't want you to be hot or cold. You either get in, get out. Don't be lukewarm. If you do, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God said, I'm sick of you. He said, not just having a billings is enough or your program or your budget, but I want the Holy Spirit. I want you to be spiritually alive and awake. I want you to be spiritually vibrant. And God said to that church at Laodicea, He said in chapter 4, and this is a picture of the catching the way church, he said, Come on up higher. And John, God opened that up to him, Peggy, and John got there and he said they were seated around the throne, the 24 elders, and they were saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And God said that we could, but I believe we can have revival. Because he said in Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You hear me almost every Sunday use that. I use that, and the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. Now let me say this. But the picture, Dorothy, is Jesus said, God said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I believe the picture, though, there, Sergeant Major, is to the church. We use it for personal evangelism, and I think it's a good use, but it may not be exactly right, because really who he's talking to there is that church at Laodicea. He said, if you'll open the door, don't leave me outside the church. Let me come in where my presence is manifested. And if you do, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God wants to come into the church. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Amen. I want to talk to you about revival real quick. Revival. 3 points. The distractions of revival, the ingredients of revival, and then the purpose of revival. Number one is the distraction of revival. We read here, Dr. Jack, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but I don't have time to go back. But we have here a little slave girl in Acts 16 and verse 16, Charlie said, she was there, she said, she was one possessed of a devil. And she was possessed by demons. And I want to say this, anytime God wants to move, the devil will give us a counterfeit. It'll be just, that was a pretty good drum up there this morning, wasn't it? It's a beautiful picture of my sermon. That the devil is, he'll fight us every time. He'll fight you. And she was there that day when Paul and Silas, they were preaching, and and the Bible says she spoke out against them. And she spoke, the problem is, what she said is true, but she was a distraction. She kept people from hearing the plain message of the Word of God. And I want to just say that you got distractions in revival. And I think one of them is false fire. Not everything is a move from God. Not everything is from, and the Bible says, Steve, test the spirits. Test the spirits to see if they be of God. And everything is not from the Holy Spirit of God. And so they are distractions. And this young lady, even though she had a lot of energy, she had a lot of enthusiasm, she was there that day, but that don't mean that she was speaking from God. And I believe that's true. Sometimes I've seen the fire of God, but you want real fire, not false fire. And, you know, I think it's good. Y'all know this, I love praise and I love worship. I love for people to clap their hands. And I saw you raise your hand, a holy hand. I love that. If people want to raise a holy hand to God and if they want to clap, I love for you to say amen. Y'all make me pull it out of you, it seems like sometimes. I have to pull it out of you. You ought not to make me beg you to do what God ought to motivate you to do. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, I tell you, I see people. Come on, Dean. Hey, look, they go to these ball games. I've been up there to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I've been there, and I heard these sophisticated ladies, they say things like, they say, blood makes the grass grow. That's what they say. Nobody was saying that yesterday at Auburn, was it? I don't know. But anyway, hey, by the way, y'all ought to let me crow one time, shouldn't you? I hadn't been able to crow for 3 years, right? My team finally won yesterday, didn't it, Doctor? Finally won. Hey, look, but I want to tell you, God, there'll be distractions in revival. And there were some distractions there in Acts 16. A false fire, that woman that possessed with a demon. She made a false profession of faith. She said, these men are servants of the Most High God. And she was right about that. That was absolutely true. But then another distraction, I believe, is apathy. Apathy. People just don't care. People just don't care. And in verse 21 said, and they brought them to magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And they said, everything was all right till they came along. Everything was calm, quiet, until they came along. By the way, some people, it upsets them. I'm kind of loud sometimes. I tell you visitors. And reminded me of the time I had some ladies in my church. Used to work at the Sunshine Club. It was our seniors, Ruth. It's a long time ago. And we heard that little Jimmy Dickens, and we'd get tickets to the Grand Ole Opry, went up to Ryman Auditorium. How many of y'all been to Ryman? How many have? Ryman Auditorium, and went up there. Guess what happened to those little sophisticated ladies? They were sitting on about the third row back. And when Roy Acuff and all the boys, when they started singing, guess what all those sweet sisters were doing? I mean, it was so loud, you could peel the paint off the wall. They'd peel the paint off the wall. Loud. Loud. And I know in my preaching sometimes say, you make us nervous. Well, listen, I believe in some joy. I believe in some life in the church. I don't like people come in and act like they're dead. And some, we didn't come to, this not awake. Y'all know what awake is? This is not awake. You better be awake when you come here, right? Amen? Better be awake. Hey, look, but anyway, if revival is going to come, one thing is false fire. Here's another thing. A false profession. Third thing is apathy. And the fourth thing is tradition. Verse 21 says, they teach customs and are lawful, not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Hey, look, I've been to churches, and you try to do something new, you try to do something different, you try to do something to reach people for Christ, Phyllis, and guess what the old saying in the Baptist church is? You know exactly. She said, we never did it that way before. Oh, we never did it that way here. Well, bless your heart. You know, that's right. Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Listen to me. There's more than one way.
Amen.
There's more than one way. There's more than one Sunday school class. I've had a Sunday school class years ago in a small church, country church. They didn't want to move their class. And Ben knows we've moved classes all. We've jumbled them up from one side. And you've been wonderful. Our people here have been wonderful about it. But that hadn't always been my experience in the church. Some people say, this is our room. This is our space, and this is our place, and it's tradition, you know. And that is tradition sometimes standing in the way of revival. You may need to do some different things. You know, we've done some different things here in the last 3 years. We had church down there in the middle of the street one night. We went to the park. We've been to the swimming hole. We've been everywhere. Tonight we're going to the football stadium, but have church outside, but do something different. Shake the people up a little bit. Don't just get in a religious rut. You can get in a religious rut. Did you know that? Spiritually, you can get in a rut. That's a dangerous place. Somebody said a rut, same thing as a grave, but it's just got both ends knocked out. That's what I heard. Make second point real quick. You got some, first of all, I said, you have some distractions. Number two, the ingredients of revival, real quick. I'm going to give you three. Number one of them is prayer. Bible says at midnight, in the darkest hour of the night, they prayed. And I want to tell you, God, revival will never come apart from prayer. We must pray. And I appreciate Max's prayer here a while ago. And I hope you're using that prayer guide this month, these 30 days. But it will never come. And you look back in the Bible, on Mount Carmel, a fellow by the name of Elijah, he prayed that the fire would fall. And God ripped the heavens open. He stood 450 prophets of Baal, a bunch of backslidden people. One man of God prayed, and the Bible says the heavens are open, and the fire of God fell. They had a revival. You study the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, 120 people have been praying in the upper room, and the Bible says on the day of Pentecost that God touched a backslidden preacher. His name was Peter, and 3,000 people came to Christ. I believe, Risa, in answer to prayer. God moves in answer to prayer. And I believe God's word is true. And it says, ask and you shall be given. Knock and find. Seek and find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. And the word of God is true. You'll never have a revival apart from prayer. Second thing real quick, praise. The Bible says at midnight they sang and praised God. Paul didn't look over to Silas and say, boy, we got it bad, hadn't we? We're in a mess, aren't we? We're in a mess. And they didn't say, woe am I. But the Bible says they praised. They praised God at the midnight hour. Now I want to just tell you that I don't believe that you're going to have revival. I said not apart from prayer. I want to tell you, I don't believe you're going to have it apart from praise. You're not going to have a move of the Holy Spirit apart from praise. Got to praise God. Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. In other words, you have what you say. My mother, she's big on that. You heard me say that. Mom said, don't say it. If you don't let it come out of your mouth. But God, I believe that what we say is very important. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And I want to just tell you, we ought to get excited about that. We ought to praise God. If we can go to an Alabama football game, an Ole Miss football game, get excited about that, then, brother, we ought to just say one thing. I hope people will excuse me if I get excited, because one day a man called Jesus 2,000 years ago walked a hill called Mount Calvary, and he met the armies of hell, and when it was all over, when the smoke cleared, he was the only one left standing, Jesus, my Savior, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. So that's something to get excited about. We get excited about a ball game. We get excited about everything, Sam, from bowling to NASCAR, don't we?
That's right.
We ought to get excited when we come to church, man. I want these people, you young soldiers, I want you to know this is a lively place. And I tell you this, I'm not going to beg people to smile in church. Don't make me beg you to smile. Don't make me beg you to do anything. I want people, when they come here, brother, I want them to leave and say, that is a happy place. Y'all think I'm mad? I'm not mad. You know, it's about passion. That's the third thing I want to tell you. Third thing I believe you ought to have in revival. Number one, what did I say it was? What do you need?
Prayer.
Number two is praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Number three, you need passion. Do you believe they had it? I believe they had it. Because the Bible says at the midnight hour, those other prisoners heard them. They heard them. They heard them praising and singing and praying. And you know what? Wonder why they didn't leave. Why do you think they didn't leave? Why didn't they all escape? I believe, Richard, because they was getting into it with them. I believe they hated for that service to be over. And they said, hey, don't stop. Just sing one more song. By the way, what do you think they sang at the midnight hour? Some people think it was Elvis that sang. By the way, what was his famous song? Famous song. Come on. How great thou art, the good. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Jailhouse Rock is right. Hey, but look, Elvis, I want to tell you some news. Elvis was not the first one that sang Jailhouse Rock. It was a duet by two Baptist preachers at the midnight hour. That's what I believe. I want to say the last thing is this. I mentioned the I mentioned here in Acts 16, I mentioned these ingredients of revival, distractions, ingredients. The last point I want to make is I want to talk to you about the intentions of revival. What is intention? What does God want to do to send a revival? What does He want to do? He does. That's exactly right. He wants the lost to be saved. He wants to plow up some hearts. That's what God wants to do. You know, God wants to open the Bible says in verse 27, that old jailer waked up out of sleep. It ought to wake. I tell you, when revival comes, it wakes people up. Isn't that right, Steve? God will wake you up. God will wake you up. Forgive me for that. But He'll wake you up. He will. The Bible says that He woke up and He and all His house got saved. He said, what must I do? He came in, Brian fell down, cried out, said, what must I do to be saved? And the Bible says, He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not that you got to write a theology book or you got to know all the answers. Not you got to clean up your life. He said one thing, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple, really. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He did it all. I didn't do anything. None of us were shooting. But He loved us. And He accepted us in the blood. Can't you imagine that night, Rondo, Paul says to Silas, he says, Silas, isn't this a mess? Aren't we in a mess? Here we are in jail. He said, I used to put people in jails like this. I may have put people in this jail. But he said, God met me. On the road to Damascus, He stopped me in my track. Gave me what I didn't deserve. God would have been perfectly right and let me go to hell, but He didn't. But God forgave me. He accepted me in the beloved. And He said, when I think about what He's done for me, it gives me goosebumps all over. I tell you, it almost brings a tear to my eye when I think about all He's done for me. And the Bible says, He fell down and cried out. What must I do? And he was saved that night. And his house was saved. He got his heart right. His family got right. And the Bible says that he gave a meal. He made a big meal, fixed a big meal. Told his wife, go fix a big meal for him that night probably. And he fed him. He made things right with those prisoners that he had beaten in stocks. Let me just tell you, if you tell me you're saved, if you're saved and you know it, we sing in a little song in Bible school. Edith, I learned it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then the chorus goes like this. If you're saved and you know it, then you, what is it, Betsy? Then your face will always show it. I don't know if that's true. Saroba, is that true? You're the master teacher here. Is that true? Does your face? Pretty much. She said, pretty much. I agree. Can we have revival? I've seen it times too. One night in Grenada, Mississippi. Boy's name is Bobby White. He came that night, Sam, even before I got a chance to preach. I don't even know if we took the offering. Wouldn't that be a terrible? In a revival meeting on a Tuesday night. He came, got his heart right, said, I've criticized people here. I've been a deacon in this church, but I hadn't lived a deacon's life. He said, I want to make things right. And brother, he confessed every sin. Ben, he confessed every sin that he knew of to confess. And I tell you, we had revival. Revival swept over that place. That's what I pray. We sing a song, Chad, in our church. Showers of blessing. Mercy drops round us or falling, but for the showers we plead. Then there's another song we sing. It's an old song. It says, send the old time power, a Pentecostal power. I know I haven't got 10 right, Craig. But it says, the last verse says, that sinners be converted. And thy name be glorified. That's what I pray. Now, let me ask you this morning. We're going to sing, give you an invitation, give you a chance to do what James did last Sunday. Maybe somebody else that needs to go through that baptism of water. Baptism won't save you. It's an act of confession. Maybe there are others who do, as many of you have done. And you live here and live in this community, and you ought to be serving, ought to be growing, ought to be contributing. And God's leading you to this place. We're going to sing an invitation. One that Billy Graham and Cliff Barrows, the one they sung every time. You know what it is, don't you, son? Just as I am. We're going to sing that right now. But maybe you say in your heart, Lord, won't you do something new in my life? God, won't you pour out fresh spirit over my life? Give me a revival spiritually. If your heart is dry, He can do that. God can do that. He sent revival at other times. He can send revival to a church, and even though we may never have it in a church. Somebody said to Billy Sunday, said, Mr. Sunday, don't you know that revivals don't last? He said, honey, a bath don't either. Said it won't last a week. Said it won't last a week. He said, honey, a bath don't last either, but it sure helps. And so maybe that's what you need. Let's stand together and sing.